Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
It's Two Dudes in a Kitchen with Tyler Florence
and Wells Adams, an iHeart Radio podcast.
Yes, welcome into another episode of Two Dudes in a Kitchen. Wells Adams alongside Tyler Florence. I'm back in Studio City. Tyler, looks like you're back up in the Bay Area. How you doing, bud?
I'm good, man. I just got back from Hawaii. I'm out there once a quarter. So it's my second quarterly trip, and we had so much fun. We had a couple of big events. We had a full buyout last week with like 75 folks from a bank. I'm actually here in San Francisco. And it was just good to check in on the island team. It was good to spend a week out there. I got a little bit of sun. We also went up to this cool place called Parker Ranch up in Waimea, which is, if you know the Big Island at all, it's kind of on the west central west side of the island. And we talked to Parker Ranch, which has been raising cattle on the island for 180 years.
Wow.
About raising our own cattle, our Miller and Lux Black Angus Prime cattle on the island. So that was kind of a fun trip. And, you know, it's always good to go out there. Hawaii never sucks, ever, ever, ever.
Well, hey, by the way, I'm going to be going to New York a bunch this summer. I'm going to need some Tyler Florence heat map recommendations for where I need to go eat.
Yeah, man. I know everybody.
You got me? Sure. You got me covered?
And a heartbeat, dude. Absolutely. So you got to go to Frenchie. Have you been to Frenchie in Tribeca?
No.
Boom. That place is great. Minetta Tavern is fantastic. You got to go to Balthazar and Kiss the Ring. That place is fantastic. There's Crown Shy, just got a Michelin star. The place is fantastic. Like, lots of really good restaurants.
All right. I'm excited.
I'll hook you up, man.
Very excited. And the one thing, of course, I do love about New York is the bar scene there. The mixologists in New York are second to none. You can get a very good drink, I feel like, on every corner. And today's episode is all about booze, not necessarily about making cocktails, but about cooking with it. Tyler, do you cook with booze a lot or not really?
I think there's lots of really great recipes that cook with wine. And this was a listener question, right?
Yeah. I just wanted to kind of ease us into it. Before
Yeah, because I definitely, it's one of those like arsenals. You don't need it for sure. Like cooking with wine, it's like an added layer that I think provides some beautiful acidity, especially if you start cooking with wine. I think when people start thinking about cooking with alcohol, their first thing is like a splash of white wine or a splash of red wine. And then when it comes to white wine, you're talking about everything from piccata to scampi, depending on vodka, which is vodka, but like all those kind of fresh flavors that come along with bright grape acidity, which is really kind of nice. Majority of the alcohol cooks out, but what you're left with is something that's kind of is similar to like a sour lemon juice flavor. It's fresh. Mm-hmm. It's just really kind of clean. With red wine as a marinade can begin to break down and tenderize tough cuts. So if you're going to make a beef bourguignon, red wine is essential as from a marinating standpoint, but also viscosity and the body and the color of a really good sauce as well. And then you've got cognac and you got bourbon and you got dark rum, which are also really nice flavor components. And bourbon and dark rum, in my opinion, they do make really nice elements for a sauce, but I really like them in desserts. Mm-hmm. Like a bourbon caramel or a dark rum caramel, like those things just taste fantastic. So there's different use case scenarios for all of it. I mean, sake and a really good teriyaki sauce, which are really kind of nice. Also, you know, unagi sauce, which they brush, barbecue deal with at a Japanese restaurant, like that unagi sauce uses both mirin and sake. So there's lots of different use case scenarios for that particular thing. But honestly, it's just acidity. It's just like freshness. You can get the same zing by using just squeeze of fresh lemon juice. But it can add a really nice component to it. Any dish.
I also feel like I tend to see this a lot in my recipes where it's like, now deglaze the pan with some white wine or some red wine or something like that. Now let's talk about deglazing, because I do feel like it's not something that a lot of people really know about, but when you learn about it, it kind of changes everything in terms of a sauce.
Yeah, because you want to build upon the foundation of the flavors that of something that you're starting to cook, right? So do you want to go through beef bourguignon, or do you want to go through something like shrimp scampi or piccata? Because the lesson is the same.
Let's do beef bourguignon.
Beef bourguignon. Okay. Yeah. So you're going to need like large chunks of beef shoulder, right? So so it has like nice marbling through it. So you want something that's going to melt, not a lean cut, right? Obviously, you're not going to braise filet mignon. You want something that has kind of like a connective tissue. You want an ugly cut, something that's going to break down and braise and become something that's going to feel like, to the American palate, like pot roast, right? Yeah. You want something melty and soft like pot roast. So kind of big chunks of ugly cuts. Shoulder is perfect for beef bourguignon. And then what you want to do is you want to marinate that overnight, right? So you're going to add a bottle of red wine. Now you want to marinate with something that you definitely would want to drink, but not anything that's going to feel expensive, right? I mean, because at the end of the day, you're going to kind of ruin the wine, but you want to be something that's like palatable and delicious, but not anything that's from your reserve stash, right? So not anything super expensive, because it would be a waste. So then you want to cover your beef shoulder, cubes of beef shoulder, large 1.5 by 1.5 or 2 by 2 large cubes of beef shoulder. Then you want to add some mirepoix to that, and that's going to be carrots and celery and onion, bay leaf, fresh thyme, garlic, peppercorns, lemon peel, which is really kind of nice. And you want to make this sort of like wet raw beef red wine salad out of it. Cover it, throw it in the fridge overnight, and really let it start to marinate. And what's going to happen is the acid from the red wine is going to begin to tenderize and break down the beef. So it's it's going to feel really, really tender. It's also going to absorb the flavor of the red wine as well, which is just gorgeous. So then you want to take all this yummy stuff out. You want to just take the beef out, because everything else is going to be just discarded, except for the red wine. We're going to strain that out in a bit. But take the beef out, and you want to dry the beef off really, really well on a paper towel, because again, you always want to sear something that's as dry as possible, because if it's wet, it's going to begin to steam and stew before you begin to build up on that caramelization. And that's what you're going to deglaze, okay? Mm. So you want to dry it off really, really well, hit it with some flour, so it's got a nice coating on the outside of it. Nice big Dutch oven, extra virgin olive oil, and you want to begin to sear the big chunks of beef until they're nice and evenly brown. Now, what's going to happen is there's going to be residual Maillard reaction, which is where the amino acids and the protein starts to melt and fuse, and it's going to sort of leach a caramelization all over the bottom of the pot, and that's called fond, F-O-N-D, fond, right? And so that is just absolutely delicious and a great way to extract another level of deep flavor and color into a sauce. Now, you can do the same thing if you saute shrimp for a scampi, if you saute veal for a piccata or chicken for a piccata. That deglazing thing is going to pick up the essence and the flavor of the brown residue in the bottom of the pot and give you a beautiful foundation for a flavor, right? Now we're going to strain out the marinade for the beef itself. So it's got all those really kind of wonderful vegetative nuances from the mirepoix. You know, the carrots and the fresh thyme are going to give it. The fresh thyme and the peppercorn are going to give it a nice herbaceous flavor. And then you're going to take that liquid, and then you're going to deglaze after you've seared the beef. Deglaze that beautiful red wine into the bottom of the pot, and begin to pull that really gorgeous color. So now you've got the residue of beef infused with the red wine that you're going to start to make a reduction out of. Now, when you go to the grocery store, especially in the meat department, often they'll have little small pucks of demi-glace, right? And that's a deep veal reduction that's kind of like a sticky little small puck of concentrated beef flavor. I love those things. I think they're great. They're shelf stable. I keep them in my pantry all the time. And it's kind of like using a Knorr cube or like a soup cube or something like that, but mm-hmm. it's natural. Bouillon it's all cube. Natural. And you crack one of these things open and it's kind of like a little rubbery, but you throw it in and you let that start to melt. Now you have this really kind of deep, delicious beef infused red wine liquid that's going to reduce and become a viscous, gorgeous, purpley color that's going to give you a ton of flavor. You want to put the beef back into that along with like some fresh mirepoix, like large carrots, potatoes are really great, pearl onion, mushroom, bacon lardon, which is an essential flavor profile for beef bourguignon. And then you want to cover this and you could either simmer it on the stovetop. I like to finish it in the oven. So the oven, it's going to be at like 325, kind of low. You're going to let that go for about 3.5 hours until it just becomes nice and syrupy. And then the red wine itself is just, that's all you smell. It's just this beefy, bright, acidic, gorgeous flavor profile that is just synonymous with just gorgeous beef bourguignon. And it's just, it's reduced, it's delicious, it's viscous, it's like gravy that tastes great with whipped potatoes and all kinds of fun stuff. And so we've done a couple of things in that quick little lesson. The deglazing thing with the red wine is essential because it's going to give you extracting a really gorgeous layer of flavor that if you didn't take that moment to do, you would have missed it. But also the red wine itself is going to tenderize the beef itself and give you a gorgeous color. Then ultimately this kind of freshness, this fresh flavor that comes along with using red wine. And we could jump into a bunch of different recipes and talk about like, how do you use booze and wine itself and how those different flavor profiles kind of come out from a nuance standpoint. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's one of those great ingredients that if you know how to use with, if you're comfortable with it, it's fancy. You know, you certainly don't need it, but it's kind of fancy and fun. And I think it tastes really great.
It also saves you on a cleanup step because it makes it so your pan isn't like you're scraping off all the fond and stuff because it really helps clean it off.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. So, when you deglaze, you're basically like you're kind of like steam cleaning the bottom of your pot.
Yes.
With flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
Hey, listen, before we jump into anything else, I just want to take this moment, which is kind of fun, bro, because these moments in my career only happen ever so often. But my new book, American Grill, is here, bro. 125 recipes.
Oh my goodness.
On Live Fire Cooking. I just got 75 copies. Just got dropped off of my house.
Looks amazing.
2 days ago. And I'm so excited about this book. I think this is going to become your new Live Fire Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of beef bourguignon, there's a smoked beef bourguignon right there, as a matter of fact. But big shout out to the folks at Abrams for publishing this. We have a 8-city tour coming up this summer called the Masters of Fire Barbecue Festival. And I think this is my best work. So this is actually out right now. You can go to williamsonoma.com and pre-order this, but it's going to be available at bookstores and on Amazon May 28th. So I'm just really super excited about this book, brother. I'll send you a copy.
Yeah. I want it signed.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Congratulations. Yeah. Everyone out there, go pre-order American Grill. That's awesome, man. Congratulations. Number 18?
17.
17.
Isn't that wild?
Wow. All right. Let's go to a listener question. This one comes from It's Me, Penelope. Penelope says, I wanted to get both of your thoughts on cooking with alcohol. Now, I've used beer for rice in a Spanish chicken and rice, but not much outside. Would love to know how to work vodka, whiskey, and wine flavors into my cooking. Any simple ideas? What do you have for Penelope, Tyler?
So kind of touch on what we just talked about before. I think starting off with both white wine and red wine, and this is a great way to use up what you didn't drink the night before, right? So if you didn't finish the bottle and you've got like, you know, a glass or two left in the bottle, just put the cork back on it, stick it next to the stove in the next couple of days or so, you know, just figure out what a really great recipe of how to use that. And you're going to have fun with it. Different alcohols have different purposes in different forms of cooking. White wine and red wine, like we just covered a second ago, are really just like beautiful, fresh acidity, like clams vongole, right? Linguine, like linguine clams vongole, like that uses white wine as the liquid to steam the clams open.
Yeah.
So that acidity mixed with the garlic and the beautiful clam juice that pops open, reduced, finished with butter, is that gorgeous pasta sauce that is one of my favorite pasta dishes in the world. It's delicious. Chicken piccata or veal piccata kind of uses the same thing. So you're going to start off with 50-50 olive oil and garlic, 50-50 olive oil and butter. You're going to saute garlic, and then you're going to add capers to that. Let me back up a second. So you're going to add 50-50 olive oil and butter, and then you're going to take your chicken or your veal cutlets. You want to nice and thin, dredge them a little bit of flour, and you're going to brown them really, really well, right? And then you're going to take them out, and then you're going to add garlic, and then you're going to add capers to that, and then you're going to add white wine. The white wine is going to pick up the fond on the bottom of the pot and then start to reduce that down. That gets finished with a little bit of butter and a little bit of fresh parsley, and then that syrup, that bright acidic syrup over top of the chicken, over top of the veal, little pasta on the side, is absolutely delicious.
Oof.
Isn't it great? So sake, we use a couple of different ways. I was at Matt Massera, our corporate culinary director, had texted me a couple of great recipes. So we use, sake, you can use it for a lot of different things, but we generally will match those up with Japanese flavor profiles. So that's a great teriyaki sauce. That's a great unagi sauce, which is also really kind of fun and delicious. Also, mirin is a great cooking sweet rice wine that is a beautiful counterbalance to a lot of flavors when you're cooking those specific Japanese flavors too. So I think those are kind of nice. Rum, vodka, those even like Blanco tequila. I think there's a purpose and a place for some of those things. Like we've made like, you know, Blanco, like marinated pork shoulder, right? Like if you like a Blanco tequila, if you make like a beautiful mojo flavor profile. So that's going to be like lots of citrus juice, lots of cilantro, lots of garlic, tequila, right? Like white tequila as like a marinade for a pork shoulder. If you're going to smoke it low and slow, which is really kind of nice. Again, just sort of like nice acidic flavor profiles. And then when it comes to like bourbon and rum, like I just mentioned before, I love those flavor profiles when they're kind of matched up with sweet ingredients, right? So a dark rum caramel sauce is delicious. So is a bourbon caramel sauce. Those are some of my favorite applications for those. And so it just really kind of depends. And, you know, I don't like cooking with beer. I'm not a big fan of like brats, like hot dogs or brats cooked and just boiled in beer. I think it's kind of gross. Okay. Have you tasted that before?
Yeah, and the one recipe that comes to mind when it comes to beer is like a beer can like inside a chicken. I don't know if you've seen that.
As a matter of fact, on Inside American Grill.
I thought you said you didn't like cooking with beer.
No, yeah, but this is different. This is different. Let me find this recipe for you, as a matter of fact, because we just did this. But yeah, so beer can chicken's kind of fun. But there's lots of great roasters. And listen, you can do the same thing with lemon water, right? But if you take and if you're going to cook with beer, I think you have to go with the lightest, cleanest lager you could possibly find. Okay. Nothing heavy. Like cooking with Guinness. Why did I take it back? You can make a nice sort of Guinness syrup for like ham, which is actually really good. But if you a beer can chicken is kind of fun. Have you ever done that before?
I have. And because I think I was given, there's some sort of like tray that comes with it and it kind of holds a chicken, and then you place the, you kind of stick the beer can up the chicken's butt, and then you throw it on the grill and whatnot. And yeah, that's what it looks like. Exactly.
Beer can chicken. Yep. Beer can chicken with salsa verde. It's on page 180 inside American Grill. This is a great recipe, right? It's really good. So it's got a can of lager, really nice dry rub on the outside of the chicken. The lager goes into, it's like Lodge makes this really kind of wonderful roasting dish. Mm-hmm. You pour the lager into this metal cup. You actually don't stick the can in there. You just pour the lager into the cup. And then the chicken's butt rests right on top of the reservoir of lager. And then we take jalapeno, onion, garlic, and then tomatillo. And then we scatter this on the outside. And as the chicken starts to cook, roast, and then it collect its drippings in the bottom, it's starting to roast all these really kind of wonderful flavors with that. Then we'll take those soft vegetables, throw those into the blender, mm-hmm. with a fresh a bunch of cilantro, nice lemon juice right at the very end. And you get this really deep, very signature flavor profile. It tastes like a gorgeous salsa verde, but it's a very chickeny salsa verde at the same time. And then you take the chicken out, you kind of cut it up like you would a good roasted chicken, serve that with rice, serve that with tortillas, and you got a great dinner. I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I think you poo-pooed the beer, the cooking with beer too quickly, because it's delicious.
I did. You know, but I take it, the what I don't like cooking with beer, honestly, is like using beer as a bath for brats. I understand that. I don't like that. I think that's gross.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. On Purpose's mission is to create impactful conversations to help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating. You'll be laughing, crying, and have so many impactful takeaways after this interview.
I had this, like, you know, homie lover friend for a long time. He's very disrespectful to me, very kind of messed up to me. But in my mind, we could get married. We had the most beautiful babies. He handsome. I'm pretty. Like, it would be so cool. He's smart and intellectual. I'm kind of smart, I think. Like, it would be fun. We have the best conversations. Like, we have fun, but then he would treat me like crap.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
What about, you know, I've seen people marinate like carne asada, flank steak for tacos in like Corona with, you know, soy sauce and ginger and stuff. How do you feel about that?
Ugh.
No, don't need it?
No, not a fan.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't think you need it.
I will say this to answer Penelope's question. When it comes to like trying to figure out like how to cook with alcohol, you touched on it. And I would say that like, if you do like clams or mussels, I think one of the best things you can do, and also one of the simplest recipes you can do, is, you know, mussels or clams with white wine and garlic and some parsley. I mean, it's so simple. It seems like a dish that should be very, very expensive. But when you go to the grocery store and you get a bag of mussels or clams, they're extremely cheap, you know, good for the environment effectively, you know, they're water filters and everything. And it's just one of those meals that when you do for your friends, they all go, what, how did you learn how to do this?
And you're like, a magician.
Yeah. And like, it's actually like, it's like foolproof, so stupid, so easy. The hardest part really is, or at least for the mussels, is debearding them. But sometimes you can get your fishmonger or whatever, your butcher, to kind of do that for you. But that would be my suggestion for you, Penelope, because that's one of those dishes. And then you get some real crunchy, flaky bread, and you toast it up a little bit, maybe rub some garlic on there, and then you dip that bread into that sauce that you've made.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Delicious. So good. It's really just like kind of counterbalance, right? Because your palate really loves spicy, sour, salty, sweet.
Yeah.
Right. So the salt from the oceany flavor from the mussels or the clams kind of mix one that bright acidity from the white wine along with the garlic. And then, you know, that reduced but sort of sweet, the sweet butter flavor that you kind of whisk in right at the last second. It's just exquisite. It's so exquisite. So you're going to use the wine as a replacement for water to steam the clams open. And then the mixture of the clam liquid on the inside of the clams reduced down with the white wine, that's a very, very special flavor profile. And you get the same thing with shrimp. You know, it's like you want to sear the shrimp, take them out, and then that really kind of wonderful sticky residue in the bottom, what we were just talking about a second ago, deglazing. You're going to add the white wine to that. That's going to pull up that great flavor profile. And then right at the last second, when it starts to get a little like sticky, whisk in a little bit of butter, kind of smooth it out a little bit. And that is just so incredibly delicious. Seafood white wine, and it's kind of like, you know, there are different cases where red wine tastes really great with meat, and then white wine tastes red wine tastes really great with seafood. I can certainly make those connections, but by and large, it's true. You know, white wine tastes great with sort of white meats and, you know, chicken and pork and seafood, and then red wine tastes really delicious. We can taste really good with pork, but also veal and beef itself. That's where you want to start to kind of develop a flavor profile. But it's also just a great way to kind of use up stuff you got left over.
Why do you think that is, that white wine goes with kind of like white meats and red wine goes with red meats? You think it has to do with like almost the unctuousness? Like when I think of fish, I think of it's light. And then when I think of like a Sauvignon Blanc, I think of like a light, airy thing and kind of matches. And then, you know, with red meat and red wine, it's like full of flavor and like a, you know, like a Zinfandel or a cab goes really well. Do you think it has to do with that, or is it purely just color?
No, it's the flavor profile of all that too. Cause obviously white wine is nice and fresh and light and clean. And that's going to match beautifully and not overpower. You know, any of the delicate flavor profile of seafood, salmon, you know, clams, mussels, shrimp, octopus, you know, things that just kind of taste nice and oceany. Like you don't want to overpower that. And then with red meat, white wine wouldn't even hold up to it. So you want something that's going to just sort of match shoulder to shoulder with the end result, right? So if you want something, because beef it tastes great with like big, bold flavor profiles. Mm-hmm. Zinfandel is a really great a red wine to deglaze and make beautiful beef sauces out of because it is so just like bold. Really like nice brambly blackberry flavor profile, big California fruit forward, tastes delicious with like dark red meat like that.
Last question. You know, one of the things about cooking with liquor that can be scary for a lot of people is, you know, liquor lights on fire. When you are throwing liquor into a hot pan, what's some safety precautions one should take so if it flames up, you don't burn your eyebrows off?
That's a really, really great point because this could be dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. You could be holding a Molotov cocktail. You have to be really, really careful with this. So Miller & Lux Hualalai, we have a Bananas Foster on the menu for dessert, and it comes out and gets a flambéed tableside. So it's a big show. It's super fun. We deglaze the pan. We have these beautiful bananas that are from the Big Island. And we make a brown sugar vanilla toffee kind of right in front of you. Mm-hmm. And then we'll saute the bananas in that until they get a little soft. And then you want to rake the bananas and the toffee sauce into the back of the pan and kind of leave like a little bit of like contact metal surface available. So if you do want to get a nice flambe, it'll hit the pan and start to almost steam and vaporize. So it'll ignite pretty quickly if you want that show. But the most important thing is you want to take the prescribed amount for the recipe and you want to put it in something separate so it's not coming out of the bottle.
Okay.
You want to put it into a bowl. You want to put it into a coffee cup. You want to put it into like some sort of ramekin or a dish. So when you add that, you're not basically, you know, adding the entire value of the whole bottle, which could explode. I've seen that before. It's awful.
Really?
Yeah. It's awful. So you just want to add just the nice prescribed amount. And then you want to tilt it forward. Or maybe if you have an ignition lighter, like the thing you kind of light your grill with, mm-hmm. those are really kind of fun to use just kind of right in front. And then whoom, you get a nice big, surprise for everybody. It feels kind of fun. And if you want to practice that a couple of times, it is pretty cool to do in front of people.
Yeah.
And then the flavor profile, right? Cognac is a great igniter for like mushrooms, demi-glace, you know, a little bit of Dijon mustard, a little bit of heavy cream, tastes fantastic with pork and veal. Bourbon tastes really great with demi-glace as well. Reduced down red meat, pork, veal. Those are kind of fun to ignite.
Well, this has been a fun episode. Obviously, anytime we get to talk about booze, I get excited because that's, you know, where I make most of my money. Yeah. So, thank you for answering all these questions. And a big thank you to Penelope for writing in to us. If you guys want to send in an audio message or a video, we'd love that. If you see a new trend on the web that we need to know about, please send that in. We're here to educate or to debunk. On Thursday, we're joined by Katie Lee Beagle, who joined Kind of Wild as a partner and co-founder last year. Kind of Wild makes it easier than ever to get zero sugar, low calorie, certified organic vegan wines. Katie is best known for her cookbooks and co-hosting Food Network's The Kitchen. So we are keeping it all in the family here. Be sure to come back later in the week for that. You will not want to miss it. We're going to continue this booze theme throughout the week.
Yeah, my buddy Katie, she's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, Tyler, it's always a pleasure. We'll see you next time. Please follow us on Instagram at Two Dudes in a Kitchen, and we'll be back very, very soon. I'm going to go make that that mussels and white wine sauce.
Oh, my gosh. Doesn't it sound fantastic?
Oh, yeah. See you guys.
See you.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Two Dudes in a Kitchen. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars.
We'll take that. And we'll see you guys next time.
See you next time.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.